Hello.net members, Chris Shore here, back with another great interview, and joining me at this time is a man who is going to tell you a lot about a major event that's happening next week in Easton, Pennsylvania. Chikara is holding their 6th annual King of Trios tournament, September 14th, 15th, and 16th there in Easton, Pennsylvania, and it is a great card that they've got lined up. We'll be going through all that, but joining me at this time to talk about King of Trios and just Chikara in general, the guy who has been there the longest and still wrestles till this day, Mike Quackenbush. Mike, thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me on today.
And again, this coming weekend, next weekend, the King of Trios tournament. This is as much as anything can be comparison. This is your guys' WrestleMania each year. This is your big event. It lasts 3 days every year. You have a number of 3-man tag teams that come in. It's a 6-man tag team tournament. And the first round is that Friday, quarterfinals and semifinals on Saturday, finals on Sunday. So I'll let you kind of make your first pitch right here about this year's King of Trios and tell fans what they could look forward to seeing if they were coming there, and then we'll kind of go through a couple things I'm curious about.
Sure. Well, I think you nailed it right on the head. It is our equivalent of WrestleMania. It's the high watermark for the year, and it's really the weekend when the eyes of the entire wrestling world are upon us. We've been fortunate enough over the years to feature other trios of legendary caliber, some of the hottest current people that are out there from all over the planet. We've been graced by the stars from Europe, from Mexico, from Japan, from every corner of the wrestling universe. People come to King of Trios. And this year, it seems to me like there's maybe more of a nostalgic American flavor to it than in other years, where maybe the influence of the Japanese has been more heavy-handed or things like that. King of Trios this year, I think probably the trios most people are talking about include the likes of former World Wrestling Federation stars, the 1-2-3 Kid Tatanka and the Portuguese Man-O-War Aldo Montoya. There's another team that kind of almost evokes that same era in my mind. They're called the Faces of Pain, the Warlord, the Barbarian, and Meng, who's coming out of retirement just for this weekend to team with those two guys. And certainly we're not short when it comes to the stars from Japan either. The greatest female wrestler of all time, Manami Toyota. Plus, we've got representatives from Osaka Pro, representatives from Sendai Girls, representatives from JWP. And the list goes on and on. In all, 16 trios, or 15 and one quattro, as they're being called, to make up this year's King of Trios. And if last year's King of Trios, the 2011 edition, was any indication of what I think King of Trios has come to represent to really the wrestling fans that truly are passionate about what the industry represents, it's that King of Trios in its own weird way is like a 3-day love letter to everything that's great about pro wrestling. And people leave really feeling imbued with like an optimism about an industry which I think far too often dwells in negativity.
And it is a 3-day event for you guys. It's not just 3 nights of wrestling. It is an event. I mean, you have like a fan access part of that goes with it as well, correct?
You're right. On Saturday, September 15th in the afternoon, we have our fan conclave, which is an opportunity to get together. And for example, in years past, the wrestlers come out and play video games against the fans. Every kind of bizarre thing like that you could possibly think of goes on, and this year will be no exception. It's a great chance to really interact with, basically everyone that chooses to. Certainly no one is mandated to take part in the fan conclave, but usually it's the kind of thing where all the wrestlers can't wait because it's really a very, very unique experience. So you're right in that it is more than just, the 3 cards, the 24 matches that we're going to present over those 3 days. It's the fan conclave. It's the entire experience. Even little things like, for example, last year, I know a good chunk of our fans ended up staying in the exact same hotel as some of the international wrestlers and got to have breakfast with them just by the happy circumstance of where they stayed. It really kind of brings it very, very much down to an intimate level that you're not going to see with most other organizations. And that's really where we thrive. If you were to analogize us with a band, we're more like that small, intimate acoustic band that you might catch in a local club as opposed to an arena rock band, which would probably be more like the WWE.
And, you know, but I want to talk about some of these trios first, but I think probably the obvious question that jumps out is why trios? You know, six-man wrestling is especially on the independent scene, the six-man match that seems to be on every card tends to be more of the get-everybody-on-the-show type match. We even see that all the way up to the WWE. I know back when I was coming up in wrestling as far as a fan in the 80s and really mostly in the 80s, I remember there were even six-man tag champions at one time. And so there's been a kind of a rise of trios, and then it kind of went away for a while. And so why a trios tournament as opposed to a tag tournament or a singles tournament?
Well, we've had those in the past. For example, just last year we had a massive 12-person round-robin tournament that lasted more than half the year, called the 12 Large Summit, and that concluded with the crowning of the very first grand champion of Chikara, who is Eddie Kingston. And prior to the arrival of King of Trios, we used to have a giant oversized tag team tournament right around that same time of the year called the Tag World Grand Prix, and it seemed like once we crowned tag team champions, that the need for that sort of thing had kind of passed us by, especially because the hallmark of Chikara has always been the multiple-man matches, the six-man and the eight-man tag, the ten-mans, all those sorts of things. King of Trios really seemed like a natural evolution from the Tag World Grand Prix and something that really sets us apart, because you're right in that there are lots of places where the art of trios wrestling is almost treated like an afterthought, or it's like the catch-all for everybody that's left over when they make up the card and they think, what are we going to do with these six leftover dudes? It's quite the opposite with us. That's where the focus is. It's anything but an afterthought, and King of Trios is the most obvious example of that.
So as we're reading down the list of the trios here, and you mentioned two that are very interesting: Team WWF, the 1-2-3 Kid, Tatanka, Aldo Montoya. You know, certainly throwbacks to the early days of, I guess not the early days, but those first television days, if you will, of the WWF. And then the Faces of Pain, a group that I am very familiar with growing up in the South, watching, you know, Jim Crockett Promotions, the NWA that became WCW, the Barbarian, Ming, the Warlord. Looking down, there's a team from Ring of Honor there, Matt Jackson and Nick Jackson, the Young Bucks, and they're teaming with Mike Bennett. And you guys just announced that Mike's girlfriend, the former WWE Diva Maria, is coming in as well.
Hmm? You're right about that. I believe she's a rather permanent fixture during his matches at Ringside and Ring of Honor,
yeah.
And so I guess it only seemed appropriate to him that she do the same in their quest to capture the title of the King of Trios. And so you can see there is kind of a blend there, you know, like the Extreme Trio that seems to evoke the glory days of the original incarnation of ECW with Tommy Dreamer, Jerry Lynn, and Too Cold Scorpio. And like you mentioned, Team WWF, the Faces of Pain, seemed like a bit of a throwback. And then, you know, you kind of contrast that against, just for example, like the Ring of Honor team, which are, these are three of the most current stars out there right now. You've got the virtually the entire current Chikara roster out there as part of it as well. And you've got the international flavor as well with all of our friends from Japan coming over. So it's really got a cornucopia. It's like a wrestling buffet.
And going down for those fans of old school, Extreme Trio, Jerry Lynn, Tommy Dreamer, and Too Cold Scorpio was another trio. And, you know, from there you start reading, and it starts to beg questions for people who aren't familiar with Chikara. You start reading down and you see names like Fire Ant, Green Ant, Frightmare, Hallow Wicked. I actually interviewed your senior official, Bryce Remsburg, I believe for last year's King of Trios, if I remember correctly. And, you know, one of the things he said is that Chikara is an intergender and interspecies group promotion. So, you know, for people who aren't as familiar with some of your characters, why don't you let them know about how Chikara presents guys?
Well, yeah, Bryce really put it quite well. You know, we have no division within the company in that, you know, there's some wrestling organizations, for example, where they divide up by weight class. Certainly there are those that have a women's division, and we just abolished all of that as far back as 2004. It really seemed like a pointless move to try and divide things up in that way, given what we're doing. Or perhaps it's outdated concepts like that that prevent the pro wrestling performance genre from really moving forward in any progressive sense. And so we just decided to cast that out, so we kind of reject a lot of these old tenets, or on those cases where we have no choice but to do it. I think sometimes you'll find that we're actually lightly poking fun at or even spoofing. a little bit of that. I think the most perfect example of an outdated concept like that is the loser leaves town match. How hard is it really to leave town? In my car, I could leave town and come right back. But I think our characters are a little out of the box. Chikara is often described as a comic book come to life, and if that sort of sensibility, if that aesthetic is akin to what you personally enjoy, then Chikara is going to be right up your alley. This is a wrestling organization, perhaps, that caters more to the kind of people that would go out and sit and watch the Avengers movie versus, I think, what's put forth by the WWE. You know, they obviously have their own very unique take on what professional wrestling is supposed to be, or sports entertainment, as they sometimes eschew the term pro wrestling altogether. You know, and as you look across the wide spectrum of everything that's out there in professional wrestling, there are all these different takes on it, right? There are different flavors for you to sample, and I realize that can be very difficult at times for fans because there's so much content. Just as WWE alone, you know, produces whatever that is, 6 or 7 new hours of programming every single week. It's a huge investment of time for a fan to stay current with what's going on in wrestling, let alone make time to try something new. And because we're so aware of that at Chikara, that's really informed, for example, our YouTube channel, where there are bite-sized chunks of Chikara that we make available 3 or 4 times a week so that you can sample it, and it's quick, and it's painless, and you can see if maybe what we're up to is exactly what you're looking for in your wrestling diet. And it's not going to require you to commit, oh, I need 6 hours of time this week to follow Chikara and see what's going on. We want to make it as easy as possible for people to see our characters and sample our storytelling and get a sense of whether or not we might be a good fit for them.
And whereas WWE, describes themselves as PG, you guys really go out of your way to emphasize that you're family-friendly. And, you've come here to North Carolina a couple times. I've gone to see you guys. I remember in one match in particular, you actually brought a kid into the ring, Lost Ice Cream versus the Throwbacks. Actually, it was probably my favorite match of all of last year as far as the one that entertained me the most. So, I mean, you guys really go out of your way to interact, especially with the younger fans who come out, correct?
Yeah, that's really, really important to what we do. I feel like for myself and so many of the people I know who became fans of wrestling in our childhood, and that sort of made us lifelong wrestling fans. It's really important to never exclude the younger viewer or to exclude the family from that experience, because those fans, those young fans, are going to be the fans of tomorrow and maybe thereafter the next generation of wrestlers. You know, it was because I was inspired by the people that I got to experience and watch in my youth that this has gone on to be a pursuit that's endured my entire adult life. And it's really important, I think, that no one ever be excluded from the experience of wrestling.
And you guys work a little bit different style. You work the more traditional Lucha Libre rule set as opposed to a standard American rule set. So especially in these trios matches where you have the multiple people, guys go to the floor, that means that's technically a tag. Your action tends to be faster paced than, say, what we see on television in a given week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a very fair assessment, and you're exactly right. For the most part, with the lone exception being the outlawing of the pile driver, our rule set mirrors Mexican Lucha Libre exactly.
So, and just going through this card again, or the teams again before we get to the teams one last time, on the day of the finals on Sunday, that's obviously the one match that's happening for King of Trios, but it's not the only match on the card. What are you guys supplementing for those finals on Sunday? What other matches could fans see?
So on Sunday night 3, which is September 16th, you'll see not only the two semifinals and the tournament final, which are 3 of the 8 matches on the card, but for example, just announced this morning, there's a single contest between two of the wrestlers on our roster that are not part of the tournament, Ophidian and Saturnine. We've got a tag team gauntlet match, which will contain 10 different tag teams. Winner stays on, gauntlet-style match, which is an annual tradition of ours that we only present on the final night of our giant tournament like this. And another non-tournament matches as well. So every night there'll be a full card of 8 matches, even if you were to stop by our website and think, oh, I think there's only 4 tournament matches on that day, like on night 2, for example. There will also be 4 non-tournament matches as well. So that every one of the cards is comprised of exactly 8 matches.
And people can get more information on the actual tournament at kingoftrios.com, as well as the home site for Chikara, chikarapro.com. Mike, one last time, let's run through these teams. The Battiri, the Colony, the Extreme Trio, Faces of Pain, Fist, with Chuck Taylor, Icarus, and Johnny Gargano, an act that that people should really watch. They're a lot of fun. Grand Akuma, Scott Parker, and Shane Matthews together. Jigsaw, Manami Toyota with you. The Spectral Envoy, the Submission Squad, the Swarm, Team JWP, Team Osaka Pro, Team Ring of Honor, Team Sendai Girls, Team WWF, and the Throwback 16 teams. I know you're in it, but and if you say your team, that's fine, I understand, but who do you think is the trio that's going to come out on top?
Well, of course, I do have a bit of personal bias there. Anytime I get to team up with the greatest female professional wrestler of all time, I feel like we probably have pretty good odds of beating anybody in front of us. But having said that, I think within the Chikara locker room, there's been real talk about the Faces of Pain, because it seems like these are three massive heavyweights, and our roster is not a heavyweight roster by and large. We have very few heavyweights. And they're also three, simply put, the most dangerous men to ever set foot in a ring. And while everyone on the one hand, out of the curiosity factor, has been saying, wow, I'd really like to wrestle the Faces of Pain, it's as if they think about it for a few seconds, and they're like, you know, maybe I'd rather face them later on in the tournament after someone else softens them up a little bit. I think it's going to be really interesting to see what happens with them and who gets to face them.
So that should be a lot of fun next weekend. I am hoping to be there, trying to finalize all details. Hope I'll be able to do that. Again, kingoftrios.com, chikarapro.com. People find you on Twitter or Facebook, Mike?
Sure. I'm not on Facebook, but I am on Twitter. You can follow me. I'm at Mike Quackenbush there. It's spelled exactly the way that you think it is. And then, of course, I look forward to seeing everybody next weekend, September 14th, 15th, and 16th. I will most certainly be at the Palmer Center in Easton, PA for the Mammoth, the Mighty, the Unstoppable King of Trios 2012.
Should be a lot of fun. I hope to report from there. Mike, thank you again so much for joining me today. .NET members, thank you for listening. And for your continued support of .NET, I'll be back next week with another interview. Till then, take care.